Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
And we're back with you after a week hiatus. Our engineer had some automobile problems, and he's okay. In fact, he's still dealing with those problems. Yeah. But Bob Abella, an old hand, is back behind the controls.
Thank you.
Coming off the bench, pinch hitting.
Yep.
Like the old great Cleveland Indians of your youth.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
think
of a pinch hitter who would have played for the... Well, maybe
Rocky
Lou Boudreaux. That's the only one I can name. Lou Boudreaux played for the... wasn't it Larry Doby?
Larry Doby was good. You know who was the big home run hitter? Was Rocky Colavito.
Rocky Colavito.
Minnie Minoso played for Cleveland before
Minnie
he went
Minoso,
to the Sox.
Yes, of course.
Boog Powell.
Boog Powell was with the Orioles, but who looks a bit like Boog Powell. Ryan Beebe is here, who could have batted cleanup for the Baltimore Orioles in those days with us. Brian had a podcast at 3 o'clock, great singer, performer, who sings always on key and hits those notes to the fullest. Brian Beebe at the Sorrento's Lounge in the Dells. Forget about those phrases. But here we are, and we've got our guest to start off, and we're going to talk about this shooting. It's a horrible thing, and we all know it's horrible. Dr. Michael Brown, Saving a Sick America, the book from the stream, who really talks about the need that we have to recover as a country, I think, spiritually and as a family, so to speak. Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Hey, great to be with you, sir. Obviously, these are very intense days, but it's great to be with you.
It's good to be with you, too. And there's been a lot of debate about gun control as we expected and all these things. And we still have a motive. I mean, usually there's a motive. There's a terrorist motive or a political or ideological motive. Well, they haven't found a motive yet for the shooter, unless you have your own theories. I think
I don't. In fact, if you have a motive, it's a lot easier to deal with. I mean, we're dealing right now with pure evil, and unless the guy had a screw loose, you know, unless you discover some brain tumor, it affected his judgment. But this, to me, is a symptom of the largest sickness that is our nation right now. And I'm not saying this to point a finger or ascribe blame. God forbid. I mean, our hearts right now are with the victims and the families of the victims. But when you just look at America as a whole, like, just look at us the last few months. One day we're being ravaged by hurricanes and fire. And then the next day, racial tensions are dividing us. And next day we have the worst mass shooting in our nation's history. To me, what I hear in all of this, and as someone that's always looking at the spiritual side, is I hear God saying, America, you need me. You know, it's like you delay going to the doctor. First it's the left leg, then the right leg, then the left arm, then the right arm. Now you can't even move. You realize, okay, something's wrong with my body. I think through all of this, we need to realize something is wrong. And the only way America can be great is if America's good. And I don't see America being good without God.
So you think there has to be a spiritual underpinning in your mind before anything good can happen. But, I mean, there are people who are either of different religions or who are atheists, who are agnostics, who don't shoot and who get through the day without being mean to others. You know, to say that, you know, this happens because of a lack of spiritual health, isn't that sort of a broad brush? I mean, the guy could just be a sicko, wacko nutcase, couldn't he?
Again, I'm not speaking about the individual, and I'm so glad you said that, because, again, the point is not to ascribe blame. I'm sure there were atheists that walked away unscathed and weren't touched, and that there were Christians that were killed. And I'm sure that there were atheists there that are some very fine moral people and some Christians that are living like the devil. So I'm not saying anything simple in terms of some oversimplified explanation. What I'm saying is look at America as a whole. Our freedoms, the very fundamental freedoms that were put in our Constitution and Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence, they are based on us being a religious and moral people. That's what the Founding Fathers presupposed. And that our freedom was tied in with our morality, and our morality was tied in with our faith. So overall, as we keep pushing God out of the picture, are we getting healthier or sicker? Do you think it was better watching TV when we were watching Lassie and Leave It to Beaver? or when we're watching Secret Diary of a Call Girl and Game of Thrones. You know, do you think it was better when kids could ride on the streets, just go out for hours and come back like we did when we were kids? You know, see you later, Mom, and come back, you know, 6-8 hours later, and nobody was worried, and you didn't have to worry about some child predator stealing off your street. And now today, parents are the kids out of their eyes. I mean, do you think we're healthier now than we were then? So my point is, it's by getting back to the roots of what made us great as a nation, to the things that gave us freedom. And as we do that, improvement will come. Here's the other thing. We just need God's help. We're messing up. You know, what's the political solution?
Because give and take. The show was a country show, which is traditionally demographically more conservative, more Christian population of people. They did the God Bless America song an hour before a different band.
Yes.
It was not necessarily a ragingly anti-Christian group.
Absolutely.
And so you suspect that the shooter took that into account and was angry at that, or how do you rationalize it?
Yeah, well, again, we don't know. Could it be that he assumed this is going to be a largely white, conservative crowd, even though it's Vegas, it's still a country music event? Look, this was not a worship of Satan event, right? This was not, they're going to sacrifice children to the devil. This was country music. And as you said, 1 hour before, they're singing God Bless America. How many concerts do that? So we don't know if the shooter's motivation was that as a white man he had it in for whites. Did he get radicalized by some Islamic group or some other group? I mean, that's just speculation. Was he anti-Christian and trying to attack Christians? We simply don't know. Like his brother said, it's like Mars fell to earth.
I see your point of the, and I know friends of mine who are of your belief in, but how do you get people? You can't force people to believe. You can't force them to go to church. You can't force them to read the Gospels. I mean, you can preach all you want, but it doesn't, you know, you can't force people to do it. So,
well, you force them, you push them away. Absolutely.
So, you know, how do you find out a way to, you know, get your message out there
First thing, it starts with the people who claim to believe it. In other words, are we living it? If I claim to be a follower of Jesus and a believer in the Bible, am I living it out? Am I being a hypocrite, or am I living it out? We're supposed to be lights in the world. Martin Luther King said the church should be the conscience of the nation. Are we being that? So that's, I'm preaching to the choir first in terms of, let's look at our own lives.
Mobilize the troops, the forces of good out there. Well, you know, a lot of prayers were said. I'm sure prayers were being made, you know, in spades before Texas, before Florida, before Puerto Rico. So, you know, it's still, you know, these bad things still happen. I guess you can, you know.
First, bad things are always going to happen, right? I mean, in this world, bad things happen. Jesus said it. In this world, you're going to have trouble. So we're not looking to be exempt from it. But are there an unusual series of events and troubles getting our attention? So here's what I think. I think we pray when trouble's coming, and then we forget about God. We pray when we think we're going to get wiped out by a hurricane, and then we forget about God. We pray when we're concerned about the victims, and then we just go on with our lives. So that being the case, I don't expect real change to come. But here's what I believe. I believe that there are beautiful, wonderful, life-giving principles that God gave us in the Bible for family, for morality, for sex, for many other things in life, for how we conduct our businesses and lives. So what I'm saying is, those who claim to be followers of Jesus, let's show a better way. Let's show something that's attractive, that people look at our families or look at our lives and say, boy, you have something that I'd like to have. You have something that I'm missing. If we can't demonstrate something better to the world, we have no business asking the world to believe it.
So you then, in terms of social engineering and social programs, it all comes back to the spiritual with you as the only solution to the problems we see in the cities and in marriages and maybe kids with drug problems or STDs. And we just saw in California the highest rate ever. So you bring it all back to the spiritual. You don't really have any social recommendations that are effective?
I do. But they're biblically based. And in other words, if you want to, what does every school know? The one guaranteed way to avoid STDs is abstinence, right? We know that. that couples that get married rather than living together outside of marriage divorce less and have more stable upbringing for their kids. That if you live within your means and don't get into some get rich quick scheme or some wasteful debt, you'll do better. All these are principles found in the Bible. No, to the contrary. Everything in my thinking is super practical.
Yeah.
It has a spiritual root, but if it's not, if I can't sit down with, say, an inner city planner, right, dealing with gang violence or dealing with an educational breakdown in the school, if I can't sit down with practical solutions, then my spirituality is meaningless.
Don't you think that a lot of young people, a lot of people in general that resist your call, do so just out of rebellion and resistance and this desire not to be told what to do or not to be, you know, regimented? Isn't that part of the deal?
Well, yeah, that's part of human nature. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that we're going to rebel against authority, and anything that tries to steal my fun, I'm going to rebel against.
Oh, that's right. There's a belief among many, and probably the young especially, and it's always been the case, right? I mean, I think back to the rock and roll debate when they all thought Elvis was the devil because he swiveled his hips and James Dean wore the jeans and the whole thing, and you had the fight between the people which were Pat Boone fans and White Bucks and Crew Cuts versus James Dean. I mean, there's always been this thing. I think people think that if you are following the line as you were advocating, that somehow you're going to have a boring life, that you'll be a colossal bore.
Yeah,
and I know that probably drives you nuts, but isn't that part of the...
No, look, I understand it. And sometimes the way we present it, it's just don't do this, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah, right.
And of course it's going to seem boring. Look, I was a heroin-shooting, LSD-using hippie rock drummer in 1971.
Oh.
You know, my first rock concert was Jimi Hendrix in 68. You know, I lived to go to rock concerts, play in my band, and get high. And when I truly met the Lord, I was a Jewish kid with no interest in God and didn't believe in Jesus. My life was so radically transformed, was so wonderfully filled. It came with a meaning and destiny.
Well, there may be hope for my co-host, Brian Beebe, who's still singing and rock and roll and pop songs.
Come on, man. There's hope. Yeah,
He's waiting for guidance at this point. You're hoping you'll lead him.
Does he have long hair? Does he still have long hair?
No, it's pretty cropped at this point. But
got it. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that was the day I looked like an ugly woman back then. But what I'm saying is when I met the real God, I just tossed out everything that had been so important in my life. I tossed it out like a dirty rag. Mm. And my life got so full of joy and hope and peace. I think Americans need hope now. I think
We need hope. We're kind of at each other's throats. I mean, don't you have family? You said you were Jewish. You converted to Christianity. Your family, though, you go home, and you know they're still Jewish, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. I didn't stop.
Oh, you're. I see. You're,
Yeah. In other words, but that's a whole other story.
Yes.
But look, day and night, I'm writing about how to be redemptive. In other words, rather than attacking each other and saying provocative, ugly things, let's sit down and talk. We have differences? Okay, let me understand your perspective. I do a radio show. I get plenty of black callers. They've helped give me perspective on how their upbringing may have been different than mine as a white kid in the suburbs. And then I'll have people from other backgrounds. So we may not agree. I have people call in, tell me why you voted for Hillary Clinton. Tell me why you voted for Donald Trump. And rather than screaming at each other, at least let's understand each other. So I'm actually for that. I try to be I'm dogmatic. People could look at me as, you know, religious diehard. But I believe that if we're in this world together, the whole America is not going to agree. We're not going to have the same religion. We're not going to have the same perspective. But at least we could treat each other with civility and respect and not make everything a debate about right versus left and, you know, white versus black. So in the midst of it, I'm saying let's at least come together and hear each other
and
out.
And listen to each other and be kind to each other. I mean, you know, regardless of your persuasion.
Yeah, hey,
you
know. Love God, love your neighbors yourself. That's a good place to start.
You grew up in the suburbs of where?
Long Island. Born in New York City.
Long Island. Jewish kid, Long Island. And a lot of Italians around there. A lot of hands were flying in those holiday gatherings.
A lot of Italians. Are you kidding me, man? Yeah. Everywhere you went. That's where I learned to eat pizza, living on Long Island.
The hands are flying. Well, that's okay. The same kind of background for me. Listen, it was very nice to talk to you, Doctor. And the book, good luck with the book. Can America... Well, no.
Saving a sick America.
Saving a sick America. Dr. Michael Brown, appreciate the deep conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at Brian. He looks like he's following your path.
Could be. Yeah. AskDrBrown.org. That's where you can go get help.
AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org, Brian. He's reaching for a glass of milk as we speak. Let me ask you this to settle an argument. Were you a Bobby Darin fan at all, or are you too young for that?
No, too young for that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it. Back with more on this, the Mitch Hanks Show on Facebook Live at MadisonTalks.com.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Mitch Hank, Brian Beebe is still here as my sidekick, great tenor. Oh, he sings the notes so beautifully. He's like a bell. He just hits those notes as they were written on the page. And he's does that at the Sorrento's Lounge, not lounge, but restaurant, I should say, in the Dells, or like Delton, if you want to be scientifically technical about it. I made that mistake. You drive in on 12 and you're in like Delton, and you drive all the way. Go one more exit.
They used to be lounges. Remember, they used to be.
Well, the lounges, yeah.
And you'd go in because it said air conditioning all over the sidewalk.
Well, Rip Taylor, one of my favorites, would work the lounge at the Stardust. Yeah. You know, I mean, back in the day in Vegas, you had the Stars would pay the lounge. You had Louis Prima playing the lounge. You know, the big stars would, you know, stars like Frank Sinatra, Bobby Darin, they'd play the big room, the showroom. But, I mean, how they ever got to the showroom, as bad as they were.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Brian never running feud. Don't get mad at me. I'm being sarcastic. But, you know, I guess anybody could just sign up and be in the showroom.
Yeah.
But some people were in the lounge in those days. You might have been in the lounge before you made it to the big showroom. I mean,
no,
I don't know. But
but I want you to continue to tell me who Frank's competition was as he came up from Hoboken.
Dick Hames.
Yeah, Dick Hames. Vaughn Monroe.
Vaughn Monroe, Johnny Leonard, I think, was who Johnny Leonard replaced. Yeah. With, Tommy Dorsey.
Just
band.
Name me a Johnny Leonard hit.
I can't because he made room for the young singer.
They had no
no competition. So your theory is Frank had no competition.
None.
The fact that he had number
Rudy
one.
Rudy Valley was already a nobody, already right?
No, the fact that he had number one in 1939 for All or Nothing at All, and number one album in 1994 with Duets when he knocked, you know, Cool Jam or somebody off the charts. Yeah. You know,
did he have any in between 39 and 94?
Yeah, he had a lot of gold records.
Oh,
I know you've had several yourself. But, no, anyway, we're getting back to the topic at hand. We just talked about
Bing Crosby
saving us.
Who?
Bing Crosby. You're talking about Frank's competition.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get back to the, you know, Perry Como. Serious topics.
Yeah.
Perry Como, Frankie Lane, Vic Damone.
Frankie Lane, what were his hits?
I don't know. So you're just basically saying there's no competition for Frank.
Yeah, there was no. He had the only career.
Well, some of us like the tone, the richness, the timbre, and the voice, the tonality.
You like the songs, the bands. The
phrasing. Yeah. We like the storytelling, the emotion. That's what our millions and
His
millions
attitude.
Of fans
Can
like.
Can I chime in?
The attitude, yes.
I think Brian's got something. You know what, Brian? I like Frank Sinatra, but I don't like him anymore.
You know, I know.
I think you hit it right on the head.
I changed your mind?
Yeah. I didn't realize
there was no competition. None.
Yeah.
Getting back to the story at hand, the tragic shooting, which I know, you know, but here's the point about that, and it's a horrible thing. I thought, and you can call us here at 210-1667, 210-1667, it goes right into the gun control debate, and I keep hearing that only three or four crimes have been done with machine guns or automatic weapons since 1934. I was always told that machine guns or automatic weapons were illegal. But then I go to gun shows as a reporter. They say, oh, no, you can get one. You can get one. You just got to go through all the checks and the FBI checks. And then the FBI can check on you without notice. I mean, all these things. But you can get one, technically. In this
or make
case,
one.
Or maybe, and that's what we're saying here. Apparently, he made them so you can convert a semi-automatic weapon to an automatic with something called a bump stock, which I never heard of. You can get something called a bump stock, which it goes on there and makes it like a machine gun because it detonates the trigger or something, and it's like $50 or, you know, and there are thousands. My point is, why are there bumps? Now, I'm not saying that laws are the answer. We'll get to that. And we encourage you to call. But why would there ever be a bump stock? Why would we need a bump stock? And is there a reason for one? I mean, there may be you know, I've talked to people and they say, well, they take their semi-automatic weapons into the woods, you know, and I'm saying, well, I'm sure you do. And
I think it would be for the illegal conversion, wouldn't it?
What else would there, what need would there be for a bump stock is my question. And I ask that to the audience. 210-1667, and not to say that if we have more laws or that's going to be the answer, because we have very strict gun laws in Chicago, and we have hundreds of shootings in Chicago. I mean, in 2 months' time, we're going to dwarf what happened in Vegas on the one night. We have laws there, and people break the laws. We had Paris had strict gun laws, and somebody slaughtered the people at the concert in Paris. So, I mean, you know, you had laws against pickpockets in England in the 19th century, and they would hang the pickpockets in the town square, and you'd go home from the public hanging without your wallet. So here's a news flash. And, of course, Brian, who is a wholesome guy, who, you know, is a milk and cookies kind of guy, kind of a Pat Boone guy. But, you know, you criminals don't want to be caught. And not that you would have those types of thoughts or, you know, larceny in your heart. At all, but you know, criminals, whether it's killers or pickpockets or thieves, never think they're going to be caught, do they? I mean, of course, this guy knew he would be. He was a suicide guy. Isn't that the case? I mean,
yeah,
he was
ready to kill himself.
Right. What's shocking about these types of suicide killers is that it's just hard to relate. We all want to relate. We all want to understand why they did it. And we don't know why he did it. So it's driving us crazy. We don't know what the motive is. And it's sort of like the killer who kills 20 people, and we want them to show remorse at the trial. Somehow if they show remorse, we'll feel better about it. I mean, they still killed 20 people, but did he show remorse? I could never figure that one out. Does that make it better?
Mm.
But, you know, it's kind of a common human desire. People want to see that you know, they have some human feeling of sadness or regret. Maybe they could still be saying, maybe Charles Manson, maybe if we just send the previous guest in there to spend some time with Charles, he can come around. I mean, you know, we have this desire. We don't know why anybody would be so evil as to blow away a bunch of people and kill them.
Well, he was a problem gambler, and he had those issues in Vegas.
Running short?
Lost a lot of money, apparently. They didn't know if he won or lost, but he had been gambling just before he...
Before he snapped.
Yeah.
But he had several days where he would carry the ammo and the weapons into the suite over days.
But they said they found weapons in three different locations, too. So maybe he wasn't by himself. But they do like their suicide by cops. These particular guys.
They give themselves to the cops.
Well, and they want the attention first. They want to go out in a blaze of glory, killed by the cops.
So in a sense, it's like Jimmy Cagney in Angels with Dirty Faces when he was on top of the gas tower and it was in flames. Hey, Mama, on top of the world. So he was kind of, you know, people wanting attention.
And they get it in this 24-hour news cycles.
But you, but the absence of any degree of morality, ethics, concern for other human beings, is just, it's hard for the human condition to understand. To be that evil and to... I mean, I bristle when I see people at the restaurant not saying please or may I please have an iced tea. Give me an iced tea. I hate that. I recoil at that. And that's a few steps below mass murder.
But you
know, come on. I mean, be nice.
Younger people than us are much more cut off from everybody else and don't have the same kinds of training and upbringing as you and I do, that, you know, people aren't always people to them when they look out at them. They're gaming in their minds.
They're immersed in their own little bubble of the iPhone or whatever, and they don't say hello, because you walk down the street and somebody's got the earbuds in, and they don't say hello to you. They don't notice you.
You're not a person. You're not.
We grew up having conversation. In my childhood, it was my mother railing against Nixon and the Republicans. That's what I grew up with. You know, I thought Nixon would lose in 72 because my mother and my family, they were all at the cocktail party saying how Nixon was an idiot. And then he won by, like,
there's an example,
millions
too.
Of votes.
Your right from wrong as you grew up was different from the right and wrong that I was taught. The politics in your house were different than other people's. Do you know what I mean? People are raised differently.
How would we differ on right from wrong?
Well,
aside
from
Sinatra and Bobby Darin.
Yeah, but I mean, your parents were obviously conscientious parents, and so are mine. But the politics of decision making was probably different. You were taught a definite point of view by your mother.
My mother, very liberal, yes. My father was kind of the Republican figure at that time, but then he moved to the left as he got older, and he wanted
to get along with her.
He wanted medicine and, you know,
yeah,
things like that. But, you know, these things kind of happen. You know, you go in these, you evolve in these ways. In some cases, what did Cody Fish, the former chairman of the Republican Party, said: when you have no money, you vote for Democrats. When you get some money, you vote for Republicans. When you have a lot of money, when you're rich, you can afford to be a Democrat again.
Evolution.
That's an evolution there. Brian will sing a Sinatra song. We come back.
Mid
Tank Show on Medicine Talk.
I hope I can get to the notes.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith Projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkas.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. Brian Beebe, our sidekick, who has his own show at 3 o'clock, the Brian Beebe Show. I can hear him at the lounge up at Lounge. Sorrento's Restaurant. Can I say restaurant and lounge? I mean, you know, there is kind of a Vegas connection there.
Yes.
Is it okay to say lounge?
Yeah.
And we're talking about the national anthem and the protesting of the anthem and all that. We'll get into that. But the song itself has been kind of a source of debate. People have not liked the song over the years, and the Canadian, I've always preferred the Canadian anthem myself. I'm not Canadian, but I get stirred when they say, you know, oh, Canada, we stand on guard for, you know, there's just kind of a nice melody.
Give
there.
Us your plugs.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, these Canadian anthems at the hockey games is just bum, ba, da, da. Whereas we have, you know, oh, say, you know, it's tough. It's a tough song to sing, isn't it, Brian?
It's almost impossible for the average person
to sing. Have you had to do the anthem?
I have sung it at sporting events. I sang it at a Pittsburgh Pirates game. And
you did? In Miller Park or
fights,
in Pittsburgh?
No, done in spring training. But,
okay.
But people are saying now that maybe we should have a different song for, and Maybe it shouldn't. No, they're saying it shouldn't be sung at football games now because of this, and I said to instantly, where else would you hear it?
Who's saying that?
It's been discussed that people saying let's not have to have this go on at football games, but when would you ever hear the national anthem in our lives nowadays if it wasn't at sporting events?
I can't imagine when it's heard. I mean, before a military type of event, you know, you'd hear it probably, right? But, I mean, obviously you'd hear it at a, you know, color guard type of thing.
Or a ceremony of some sort in Washington, maybe.
A military ceremony, but...
When my son graduated from basic training in the Marines in Paris Island, I thought they would play the national anthem as they marched or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what song they played?
What?
God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. It was effective,
really?
But it wasn't the national anthem. I mean,
so, but that's a different conversation than the reasons for the protest and the, I guess, the pushback against the protest.
They're trying to get modern.
It's a separate conversation, but you make the point that
it's a hard song.
The song itself is. It should be replaced, perhaps. Well,
I can sing it.
Yeah,
well,
you can.
You can sing it if you done it in front of a live audience.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail as the twilight's last gleaming. And the rockets.
You forgot parts.
Yeah, I don't.
Nobody
know
knows
words,
it.
You know.
Nobody knows it.
It's hard to.
Who's?
It's hard to
one
sing
prepositional
the song.
Phrase after another, and it's just impossible.
Give me a prepositional phrase that you object
whose
to.
Broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fright.
Through
that's
the
another
preposition,
one.
Right.
What so proudly we? And you know, it's just or the ramparts we watched. That's another one. And here's what
they were gallantly screaming, weren't they?
Yeah, but or the ramparts is another provisional phrase. I sang this at the fights over.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And I'm walking around the ring before I'm supposed to get up in the ring and sing this song. And I practiced it. I knew it. And as I'm thinking about it in walking around the ring, I'm thinking, I've got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which prepositional phrase comes where? Do you know what I mean? It's not a moving song because everybody's concerned
there's no
about
logical
not
flow.
Singing it well.
You shouldn't ever end on a preposition. We know that from grammar in second grade. But
there are so many more powerful songs about America.
God bless America?
The war references, without the rockets.
Neil Diamond's got that one song, America. It's
Coming to America.
We're coming to America. But it can be sung well. I mean, we think of the Whitney Houston version of the anthem back in like the mid-90s. She did it very well. And other people have done it very well over the years. It's a tough song to sing. I think as it builds, I've heard opera singers do it well. I mean, it can be a very, robust and inspiring anthem when done well. I think you do well as a tenor that you are, a big bolt.
Well, I'll give everybody a clue. When you sing that song, if you're not in a crowd, always make say the lowest note in your octave, your range.
Say. And you sound,
so then you won't get too high on the other end.
Say.
Can
you see? By the dawn. See, I'm trying to be a tenor. I'm not a tenor.
Yeah, see what
that's
I did?
What happens. No, but you
that's
take
why
the
I
low...
started on a really low note.
Yes, yeah, but take the lowest note in your range and make say that note, and you'll have a better chance of singing it. But when you go to a stadium, a baseball game, a football game, they put it in one key, and it's not everybody's key. So, I mean, it's just too hard to sing if you don't start low enough in your own range.
But Mitch likes the Canadian
anthem.
I got it.
I find the Canadian anthem a more catchy tune.
Play
it? Yeah, put it on there.
Sure,
Gary
here we go.
V show,
stirring.
Now, we're playing the Canadian anthem. I'm not saying it's better than our anthem in terms of meaning, but musically, what do you think? Here we go. Oh, just an instrumental. You can sing it.
I don't know.
Glorious and free. I don't know the words. I think it's I don't know the words. Anyway, don't you think it's a catchier tune?
It is. Well, I don't know about catchier, but it's catchy. It's nice.
Well, it's kind of catchy. I mean, it kind of.
I'm so used to ours that.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, crank. I think Brian is unimpressed by the Canadian anthem.
Well, he doesn't like Frank Sinatra either.
Very,
I mean, you know.
Complex.
Very complex.
Lots
know?
Of different melody things happening there. So it wouldn't be easy for everybody to work.
You're leaving the set. Well, he's at 6:30, actually, a little bit early.
Okay.
But
you don't want me to stay.
But I want to talk about the anthem and why the anthem is becoming the raging issue. And the different sides of it, and what people are missing on both sides.
Yeah, it's not
when
the
we
music.
Come back. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com. Glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on. Well, I know about three phrases from that. And
Bring
Facebook
me
Live.
Earplugs.
Thank you very much. We'll come back in a moment.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim had a plan whether we should look at a new house, an older style house, and right away he knew what we were looking for and what would be in our best interest.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
He was jolly, good-natured, and so thoughtful, and he's charismatic as well.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve. Examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
We're having some issues with the phone. You know, we got our makeshift Facebook technology tonight because of our normal engineer, our normal mechanism.
The normal piece of equipment is not here.
It's not here, yeah. So we... Brian's phone was great at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, now we're using Mitch's phone.
Now I'm seeing a hand. Well, it's delayed, obviously, so we're trying to write the phone. So now I see the on Facebook, I see the computer, the back of the computer. So you can hear us on MadisonTalks.com, but we're having some issues. With our phone, our video tonight on Madison Talks, there's a good picture of Bob Papella in the control. Oh, there's me. Actually, you can almost, well... It's almost like we're seeing footage from Dallas, you know, before the motorcade.
And we might as well explain to the listeners.
That's actually the best picture we've had.
Yet. I mean, first of all, we're accomplishing the podcast, but the other thing is that the audio is probably poor here. See, because we're using those headphones to capture the audio. The audio is on the bottom of the phone, and you don't have the earpiece on the bottom of the phone. That's why I had the phone sideways, and that shouldn't be an issue.
Well, visually, it's now the right side up. Of course, we've got gray bars on the sides of the phone. Yeah. So I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, now, this isn't the time to experiment. I mean, that's what we're doing.
You know, this is...
Michael's thought was, no Facebook, no big deal. We got podcasts.
Well, Brian Beebe is trying his hardest here to make this work. But we've got... we're going to talk about the breast cancer awareness, Alzheimer's coming up as well with our guests at 6 o'clock. We've also got Stuart... not Stuart Little, but a different lawyer, not the animated figure, talking about the change in sexual assault reports on campus because they had watered down the burden of proof requirements in the Obama administration. Well, I can see myself now. It's just kind of floating. It'll change. And that's been made to force accusers on campuses of having to prove their case, I guess, more. So it's more in line with the civil liberties of the accused, which has caused all kinds of controversy. That's coming up at 6:18. John Vardalos, the AmericanBoober.com, is here. He talks about his cruises, what he finds when he goes abroad, the attitudes toward Americans. Brian Beebe is now out of the shot.
When he gets here, he's not
going to
be on the...
When our guest is on, he won't be in the shot either. You'll hear his voice. Go to MadisonTalks.com. We'll work on it, folks. In the meantime, Brian, we'll see you later. Enjoy the greatest hits on the way home. The NFL, here's the deal. Colin Kaepernick, and by the way, it's Kaepernick. I turn the car on and listen to Rush Limbaugh. I'll say Kaepernick. It's like fingernails down the chalkboard. I want to call in. I want to wait online for 3 hours just so I can say, Rush, say Kaepernick. It's just driving me nuts. You know when somebody pronounces a name wrongly that you've been hearing your whole life and it just drive you nuts, right?
Yeah.
He always says Kaepernick. And nobody calls. I think it's because nobody who listens to his show knows the way I look at it. But he did it because of maybe it was Michael Brown, which was couched in the wrong premise. Don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot, which was proven to be wrong. And other shootings, but my belief is that the attitude, the angst about police behavior is couched not in shootings, not in murders, not in shooting unarmed black men, because that statistically doesn't happen very much. In fact, it happens less than it happened in 1971 if you look at the data. But it's in the dealings day to day, stopping people, questioning people, and you could talk to black lawyers, black ministers, about going to the bank or, questioned here and there. Even Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who gets stopped even now, going to receptions as a senator. And, he's stopped and his ID is asked for when his colleagues go through. I mean, he was stopped dozens of times as a young man wrongly, as he described in his Senate speech. So it's really the angst that drives this is the, daily discourse of, behavior in America in terms of how black males primarily are treated by white cops compared to white Americans. I mean, the story, if you know somebody who's African-American, they will tell you endless stories I've got friends. I mean, Kaleem Kerr, you know Kaleem. He's part of One City Preschools, used to be in the Urban League. He says he's probably been stopped 40 times in his life by cops, mostly white cops, 8 times legit in his mind. I've heard Alex G do a Facebook Live post when he was questioned why he wanted to make a withdrawal from his account in the bank. It was a big withdrawal. He had to explain why he wanted the money. He says, none of your business. He called the bank president and complained, and they disciplined the teller. Darrell Connor, a friend of mine, who's African-American, said he was at a Bucks game with his white colleagues, and the usher came and asked him for his ticket and didn't ask the white colleagues for their tickets. I mean, these are anecdotal things that happen day to day. And so when you hear stories about driving while black and walking while black, now in high crime and higher crime areas, cops are led, are informed by statistics and data. And they may in fact stop an innocent person as a result of that type of data. And that does happen. But in the case of Senator Tim Scott, he would go on the floor and say his friend, who was stopped so many times by white cops in good neighborhoods because they had a nicer car. And he said after a while he got tired of being stopped, so he got rid of his car, bought a cheaper-looking car, and he got stopped less. And you can argue all you want about, cops are doing it because they're worried about the stats, but if you're stopped in, Shorewood Hills, as Kaleem Kerr's son was with his white friend, I think Maury Anderson, they stopped them for really no reason, but it's unusual to see a young black man driving a car in Shorewood Hills, let's be honest. So these are the types of things that happen every day, and that's the angst, I believe, that's driving the feeling. Now, what's happening with white talk radio and conservative talk radio now is they're talking about it's all because of Michael Brown, it's all because of lies and so forth. No, I think it's more cultural, it's more social day-to-day stuff that is causing the bad feelings. I don't think whites and blacks understand these things. I even compared it to Vietnam. They just ran the Vietnam story series on PBS, Ken Burns. During Vietnam, I mean, we had 8 different regimes running South Vietnam between January of 64 and June of 65. 8 different governments. And so Bob Abella, our engineer, fought in Vietnam.
Yep.
Were you aware of what was going on in Saigon in terms of the governments and the politics? And
to some degree.
I mean, they had
to
some Buddhist uprisings and martial law.
Now, we were kind of kept in the
rampant
dark.
Rampant prostitution and graft and corruption.
The only thing we had was the military radio network.
Yeah.
So they told us what.
But you go down the street in America during that, no one would know who was running the government of Saigon. All they knew was we're fighting the commies. We're fighting the commies. And then later it was either for Jane Fonda or John Wayne. I'm with John Wayne. That's what it was about. Nobody knew the intricacies of why we were there or what was really going on there. They just knew we were fighting the commies. And the commies are bad, and if you're not for us, you're for the commies. I mean, the public, people at these football games, they're not going to know why people are kneeling. I mean, they're just going to know that they're kneeling during the anthem, and the anthem is one safe place. We always had that as a safe place. It's always a safe place where people would just sort of come together, and they have their differences after the anthem, or before the anthem, but not during the anthem. So it was it's kind of one of those culturally sacred rituals that is being, in the minds of many, violated, which doesn't go over. So you're pushing away the people you're trying to persuade. We'll come back with more and talk to a very important guest after 6. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MedicineTalks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
Coming up in breast cancer awareness, Michelle Heitzinger of the Susan G. Komen Foundation is in studio after 6. Some great issues we should discuss that are very important there as well, not just with research, but attitudes and the rest. And we have the lawyer for the group that's been dealing with this whole sexual assault, presumption of innocence versus guilt debate going on college campuses, 618. We've got John Vardalos coming in, who's still Greek after all these years. Willie, I'm not sure what Willie's nationality. Willie Becker. What is that, German? Of course it's German, right, Willie?
I'm a Kraut.
Yeah, well, I knew that. You're always defending the Germans in all your calls, but go ahead.
I'm defending the Germans.
Over the years, you have. Yeah, you talked about the Germans were indentured servants in North Vietnam.
Your surname is a Kraut surname, Mitch.
What's that? Just
your surname is a Kraut surname.
My father was adopted. I will have you know, but I shouldn't. You know, my mother was a Matrango, which was the Italian Sicilian.
I know
Sicilian.
You're very proud of the Sicilian.
Well, because I knew about that. Cool. I didn't know about them. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm 31/32nd German. The only polluting influence in there was one fellow who was a soldier of Napoleon's who deserted and knocked up my great-great-great-grandmother.
Well, that's kind of a rough phrase for this show.
I guess it is, but it was a long time ago.
I understand.
What I wanted to say... There were people around in 1965 who could tell you an awful lot about Vietnam, but nobody listened to the people who had been to the teach-ins.
Uh-huh.
The history that was taught at the teach-ins at the campuses, which had a great deal to do with starting all of the anti-war movement, had pretty much everything right. They told us about the election of 1956 that was supposed to happen.
Well, it didn't happen, right? Yeah. Well, what did
Eisenhower stopped it. That would have
Eisenhower said if they had free elections in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh would win 80% of the vote. And frankly, the best thing we could have done was allow the elections to have been held. And people said, "Oh, the commies." Well, guess what? I mean, it was not our concern in my mind. 12,000 miles away. If the commies were running the show, what was Ho Chi Minh going to be after being a colonial pawn for all those decades? Didn't he study in France, by the way?
What?
Well, he was run by the French. I mean, he was.
No. Ho Chi Minh fought against the Japanese during the Second World War. He was OSS agent number 19.
Okay, but economically, he saw his people run by colonial rulers for decades. So how is he going to be Gordon Gekko or Steve Mnuchin? I mean, I just don't think it's going to happen, right? I mean,
of course.
Now, most of the people in Vietnam were peasant farmers, right? They were peasants. So the only people that really were hurt by the fact that the commies were charged would have been those wealthy landowners and property owners around Saigon. Is that the way to look at it?
Many of whom were French and were not going to be coming back.
Well, it was even Bobby Knight is against the Vietnam War in retrospect, believe it or not. So, but you're right.
Everybody realizes what a mistake it was.
We got to go. But it was lost to Dien Bien Phu in 1954. We prolonged
one
the
last request. Ben.
Yes, yes.
If you want to talk about Kaepernick,
well, we got to go to the break. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.